Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All righty, third hour today, my friends, of Political Coffee, the show where we talk about the political issues of the day, and quite frankly, how they can be used, how you can use them, rather, to change your world, to persuade the persuadables. That's why I do this show. And I always try to talk about everything with that in the background and in my perspective here. Because I want this show and the time that we spend together to be something of value to you so that you can use it. So when we talk about what happened yesterday at the Capitol and what needs to happen, if all of your options of where you have put your faith in times past, if all those options just fail, what do you do to protect your liberty? Every right that God gave you. What do you do? How far do you go? Do you stand up and protest even though you've never done it before? See, this is not about Trump. This is about you. What's happening in the country right now is not about Trump. He is only the person that I believe God Almighty put in the presidency to facilitate God's will, his plan. And a lot of that depends on us. Oh, God's going to do what he's going to do. In fact, there's a great no-Q report that is up on the Liberty Daily. It's at the top. About this whole thing is revealing principalities and powers. Yeah, he is a Christian, and he talks in the article from the Christian perspective of the unseen world, right? But he's also making an allegory that fits perfectly with what I've been talking about. And I'm going to finish this thought because I want to go on to what's in the $2.3 trillion stimulus and spending bill. Because you need to know about that too, and you need to be active in it. You need to urge the president today to veto this thing. So in this no-Q report about the reveal, what this is done is, and this is profound, and I want to read this to you. He said, that's why we must keep hope alive. This is why we have to be prayerful if we are to have any hope of keeping our country from being destroyed. He writes this also. He says, there's still time if it turns out that President Trump is vindicated and reelected. Then we can count this entire experience as a positive because it has allowed us. Here it is. This is the money quote. It has allowed us for the first time to see a huge chunk of the powers and the principalities working against us. And not just spiritual, folks, I'm adding this, but now he makes the point about what we see in the physical realm with what's before us. Quote, before the election, many on the right still embraced Fox News, Attorney General William Barr, and Republicans on Capitol Hill. Now, we know only a handful of Republican lawmakers are working on our behalf. Everyone else is against us. Now, I don't have this on the show plan, but if you just go to thelibertydaily.com, you can see it. It's right at the top. Yeah, I used to embrace Fox News. I rarely watch it anymore. Bill Barr, I've given you some defense because he has done some good things. He has, folks. But with every passing day and with what he said yesterday and what he's leaving in his wake at the Department of Justice, Yeah. He's not for me. He's not for you. And certainly not Republicans, because I just read another article in the Gateway Pundit. Mitch McConnell joins with Chuck Schumer to try to block Trump's veto of the defense bill, which allows big tech to keep its protection. So it can keep you and I from spreading the truth about things. That's the swamp, folks. So when all of this fails, and God forbid, believe me, I think something monumental is about to happen, and I mean that. Trump is going to do something. Yesterday it was reported, today's Tuesday, yesterday and Monday it was reported that Sidney Powell, for the third day in a row, well, actually second day in a row, but three out of the last 4 days, she has been in the White House meeting with the president. As much as I have said that I think it is her ability to be appointed as an effective special counsel to look into the election would be just not accepted by anybody, because she's filed these lawsuits and all the things that she's said. I think Trump's going to do it. There's no other reason why she would be continuing. In fact, I read, an article on Parler yesterday about how Trump is finally listening to her. Folks, if you saw, by the way, the Patrick Byrne interviews, he was interviewed on Newsmax last night. He's been up on Gateway Pundit. He was livid after that meeting on Friday when he was in the White House in with Trump and Sidney Powell and Mark Meadows, who he named, and Pat Cipollone, who's the White House legal counsel, as advocating for Trump to basically concede the election. It's time to move on. Now, Mark Meadows is playing damage control, because a Gateway Pundit article out there right now says, it's the lead article, President Trump is preparing to fight back against mounting evidence of voter fraud, from White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. That's not what Patrick Byrne says he was advocating for in the Oval Office. Now, Mark Meadows has, until now, been a reliable conservative congressman. But I'm telling you, this is the swamp. Now he's trying to save face. If what Pat Byrne said is accurate, the bottom line is that Trump is starting to not listen to Mark Meadows or Pat Cipollone. And starting to listen to Sidney Powell. No. That's either a huge mistake or it's the right thing to do. Because if you appoint a special counsel, appoint her as special counsel. And Trump can do this, folks, irrespective of, again, he has to run it through the Justice Department, but he can still do it. And if you appoint Sidney Powell, it means she won't be able to argue her case. She'll have to have somebody else argue her case before the U.S. Supreme Court, number one. But it also means that she could have an almost immediate impact on the current election and Trump making the case that would force the Supreme Court to agree that the election has been stolen. Why? Because she could literally immediately impound all of those Dominion voting machines. And the beauty of this, Trump does not have to invoke even his executive order, even though he could. He doesn't have to even go further than that and invoke the martial law or the Insurrection Act. He doesn't have to do any of that. If what Sidney Powell says she has is true, if what Rudy Giuliani says they have is true, actual evidence, none of which has been heard in a court, if they really have that, then it can come out, because they can then forensically examine other states' machines who haven't yet been wiped clean. It's another reason they have to do this now. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Now, Tom writes me an email about yesterday's melee at the Capitol. He said, you read the Breitbart article. Did you see the tweet of the man being led away in handcuffs? It states that the man was yelling, I can't breathe. And he writes, how many Antifa BLM members were in that crowd to act out in ways to incite or provoke peaceful people on our side to make poor decisions? Was it Antifa's mission to make conservatives look bad? Body armor, pepper spray, tearing down fences, all tactics we have watched from these lowlifes for months now. I would say that that's possible, except that the people that were doing those things are known to the rest of us, people that we know that are not associated with Antifa. You're right to think that way because that's a tactic that Antifa and the Democrats, frankly, have been using. Remember it was revealed the husband of a Democrat woman congressman from Colorado. This guy runs a think tank or something like that. He was in the White House a lot in the last year of Obama's presidency. It turns out he was hiring people to go in, attend the Trump rallies in 2016 and start fights. So it's not out of the, shall we say, the realm of possibility that that could have been one of the things. I think maybe that the guy was yelling, I can't breathe, as he was being led away in handcuffs, probably more along the lines of using that as a backhanded slap at the cops. That's what I would think that it was. Okay. Billions going to hundreds of billions of folks going to foreign countries out of this spending bill and COVID relief bill. Not just the $1,800 that illegal aliens get. Well, you only get $600. No, but it's stuff like this. And in fact, the Breitbart article says for some countries, Christmas came early. Like $169 million to Vietnam, including $19 million to remediate dioxins. That's on page 1476 of an almost 6,000-page bill that Congress got 6 hours to read before they voted on. Get this. Unspecified funds, you gotta love that worm, unspecified funds to continue support for nonprofit institutions of higher education in Kabul, Afghanistan, that are both accessible to both women and men in the co-educational environment. Page 1477. And there's more to Bangladesh, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, and yes, Venezuela for democracy programs. Oh, there's a lot here. This is absolutely why Trump needs to be. And there's more. Yeah.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
And on top of the insult of what this porculous bill does, supposedly to help us, the people, while they're sending hundreds of billions to foreign countries, Biden is calling for even more spending. the story that just hit on Breitbart. Even more spending, because it's not enough, is it? Nope. It's not enough. Just stunning. It's just stunning. It also limits the border wall, even though supposedly it includes money for the border wall. It limits it. It keeps the MS-13 gang amnesty pipeline going. I mean, it just, and it takes money away from ICE and customs enforcement. Call the White House, folks. Email the White House. Demand the president. And it is a betrayal. It is an absolute betrayal. In fact, the Liberty Daily calls it treason. And with good reason. Treason. Billions going to foreign aid. This, half hour of the show is brought to you by Dave and Paige Smith of Realty One Group in the Willamette Valley. You know, they really do believe in doing more than just is what it kind of is expected and what the average real estate agent does. They really do believe in going above and beyond to meet your needs, whether you're trying to sell a home or you're thinking about buying one. They really do go beyond what is expected. And I can tell you from a personal experience I had that that's nice. It's really nice to have a real estate agent that will do that. So why don't you check them out? Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. It's Dave and Paige Smith, 503-939-7099. So you know what else is in the Porculus bill? This treasonous bill. How about this? 198 million to Bangladesh, including 23 million to support Burmese refugees from Burma going into Bangladesh. 23 million for democracy programs. Run by liberals. Yeah, maybe. $130 million to Nepal for development and democracy programs. Kind of a common theme, the democracy programs. What do you suppose those things are? And who runs them? Well, I can tell you historically, Obama used them to promote leftist thinking in foreign countries. It's well documented. So-called democracy programs. How about this? Sri Lanka. You'll get this. $15 million for refurbishing of a high endurance cutter. You know, a patrol boat. That's on page 1489. I wonder what lobbyist gets a chunk of that contract, advocating for Sri Lanka of all people. All places, rather. How about this? $505 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama to basically get bought off to keep their people from coming to America. The actual pages 1490 through 1491 quote and say to address key factors that contribute to the migration of unaccompanied, undocumented minors to the United States. $500 million, $506 million to be precise. And in those countries, you know where a lot of that's going to go? To corrupt officials. Very little of it will ever do anything to slow down or stop unaccompanied, undocumented, illegal alien minors coming to America. How about this? $461 million to Colombia for programs related to counter-narcotics and human rights. Well, that might not be a bad expenditure, but, man, that's a lot of money. How about this? $74.8 million to the Caribbean Basin Security Initiative. Whatever the heck that is. It's on page 1498. Of course, the $33 million for, there's that word again, democracy programs for Venezuela. And how about unspecified amounts to Colombia, Peru, Ecuador, Curaçao, Trinidad, and Tobago? Oh, for refugees from Venezuela. Let's go to Kathy, who's on the line. Kathy, good morning. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, you should turn off your radio, though.
Because I can't hear you at all.
I can hear you.
I guess what I want to say is that there's no bigger Trump supporter than I am, but he needs to, when he, if he vetoes this bill, he needs to educate the public about it, because
yes,
it's
yes,
like he doesn't explain stuff to us.
You're right.
Just like
you're
45% right of Biden voters never even heard about the Biden laptop. So he needs to go through this and say, look, they filled it full of pork. They wanted to give it to Venezuela, blah, blah, blah. He needs to actually explain it so that, and say it out loud so that the mainstream media has to report it.
You're right on the money. You are right on the money, B, and your criticism of the president is well-founded. He expects that people just know this stuff. They don't.
Right.
You're right. He has to tell us what's in it that's bad, like the $1,800 to illegals, like $33 million to Venezuela, like limiting the border wall. Yeah,
so
he needs to say that.
If I call the White House switchboard, I'm going to say that.
Good for
say
you.
Say it out loud so that mainstream has to report.
Good for you. You're right. Thanks, Kathy. Great point. Back in a moment. It is 8:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour, the last 24 minutes of the show today. Keeping in mind that we do podcast these shows, and I am beginning to get caught up. Little bit anyway. They're 3 hours now. We're podcasting all 3 hours. If you go to KSLM.news and click on the podcast, go down to Political Coffee, and you can hear them. You can also see, because I also include the actual articles that we use, that I use rather, the links to them, so that you can read them yourselves. I also put those on my Facebook page, but you know, it's right there as a resource so that when you're maybe searching for on the podcast a particular topic, or maybe an interview like I did with Mark Cosby today, that you would be able to find that easily. Now, I shared with you that we were going to be having an interview with David and Amanda Vitale, who put on the great Salem Awakening worship services for 3 months in a row down at the Salem Waterfront Park every night. So we had to reschedule that for Thursday. I'll be doing that on Thursday. And I will get to, hopefully tomorrow, Janice Deisinger, who was with Mike Nierman, Representative Mike Nierman at Polk County, to talk about all of the things that are surrounding what we're going to be doing on January 5th and 6th to recount the ballots, hand count ballots, and look at images from both the 2018 and the 2020 elections in Polk County, just to make sure that these voting machines that they're using, and they're using a system That is part of Dominion, folks. To make sure that it's accurate. So let's talk about elections. The Russians have a long history of, well, what is it that Joseph Stalin said? Doesn't matter who votes, but who counts the votes. How true is that? There's another piece in the Gateway Pundit that I teased you about in the first hour, and I want to talk about it now because it's a powerful parallel to what's happening today. It really is. It's history repeats itself. Excuse me. Democrats are using tactics of the Marxist of 1917 in Russia to steal the 2020 election. And this was actually printed first in October on the Gateway Pundit. It's an analysis by John Cockleman Jr. And they reprinted it for a reason because it's really what's happening here. Here's the high points, and then I'm going to get into the minutia. So listen to this. An election in 1917 forecast the election in 2020. From 103 years ago, here are the main things that happened in the 1917 election that in many ways parallel what's happening today in our 2020 election. Number one, years of preparatory work were spent in misleading and misdirectional propaganda. Number two, contested voting results marred the election's finality and ultimately its dismissal. Claims that the poor, number three, were going to be disenfranchised of their votes. All of this sounds strikingly familiar, doesn't it? Number four, the scheduled voting was extended by 2 months. Number five, division, violence, slander, and libel were widespread. Number six, the delusional, cunning, conniving campaign made unrealistic promises to win the population. Number seven, anger and mob violence were deliberately stirred against privilege, possessions, and status. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Number eight, deceptive claims persuaded the majority that they were robbed of their electoral victory. Number nine, inevitable civil war was sparked at the election's end because Lenin's group failed to win the majority. And the final one, 10, the dissolution of the old state and a transformation of the new system was promised to lead to true socialism. But in fact, it brought history's worst and longest ruling tyrant. So the article goes on to talk about the safeguards that our system in terms of a three-way system, executive branch, legislative, and judicial, and how that safeguards, because it acts as a check on the other, safeguards us from tyranny happening. Well, the article also goes on to explain how each of those, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, if I can talk today, are being assaulted. And by whom? But as you get down through, they make an important point here. The writer does. In this current election, when it comes to the legislative branch, the constitutional safeguards are condemned and the population is ignorant of just how fragile individual freedom really is. Now, I want you to stop for a moment to think about what's happening today. Think about your kids, your grandkids. What do they understand or even have any knowledge of the founding, why our nation was founded, and of these constitutional safeguards? And do they have any understanding of what individual freedom means or understands. For that matter, do some of the persuadables in your world understand what individual freedom means? Like wearing a mask. Like being forced to take a vaccine, as a California lawmaker now is saying must happen. Actually, joined by a New York lawmaker. You have to make it mandatory. Everybody has to get the vaccine. How many people in your world understand what individual freedom is? And it's fragile, folks. Because right now, it could all change. If Biden wins and we lose the Senate, so many of the things that we have enjoyed as Americans, when it comes to individual freedom, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, will absolutely be in danger. Now, here's the historical side of this. Listen, consider the Russian Revolution. That election held in October or November of 1917, it depends on the calendar you consult, interestingly. Lenin promised a free election where all the votes would be equal and each citizen would be heard. Now, you got to keep in mind, this was new to them, right? Because they'd lived under the Tsar. It's not new to us. But the concept of free elections where all votes would be equal and citizens would be heard is the same. The election was scheduled in a number of political parties, provided the voters a choice. Among the many parties were two dominating parties, the Socialist Revolutionaries and the Russian Social Democratic Labor Party, Lenin's Bolsheviks. The propaganda fueling this election is intriguing. Lenin had confidence that this party would be an overwhelming, that his party would be the overwhelming victor. He was convinced that his pamphleteering during his exile was persuasive. He was convinced that only he knew best what the poor citizens needed for happiness in life. Lenin had devised a governing system by which the state would help the poor citizen to have free health care, free food, personal land ownership, and erase all class privileges by redistributing wealth, financial resources, and personal property. Under Lenin's control, there would be no more denial of personal rights, no more prejudice of persons, no more unjust financial levels. All would be totally equal if Lenin's perfect revolutionary state was allowed to transform into the Marxist utopia. Now, that's interesting. That sounds awfully familiar today, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like what Black Lives Matter and social justice is trying to achieve in Oregon? In America? Here's what happened. The Tsar abdicated, and the Russian Provisional Government was formed. It was supposed to organize the free elections of the Russian Constituent Assembly. The Provisional Government lasted only 8 months and was replaced by the Bolsheviks. A significant footnote to this period is that the Provisional Government was unable to make decisive policy decisions due to political factionalism, and the breakdown of state structures. The anarchy fomented by Lenin and the Bolsheviks rendered a civil governing impossible. Whatever legislative bills were presented were instantly killed by opposition. Revolutionary unrest fueled violence. This was a deliberate design of non-cooperation and pure resistance. The deliberate campaign for divisiveness and refusal to perform governing duties is a sobering similarity to the resistance in modern-day American politics. Lenin's free election was conducted, but there were some troubling facts from its history. Number one, well, the election was designed to be held on specific dates, but some argued that the peasants in the outlying territories needed more time to get their votes counted. So the ballot counting was extended in some places by as much as 2 months. Oh, I've got a lot more. Stick with me to the last segment of the show. We'll get through. Back in a moment, 8:48.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, last segment for today, friends. By the way, got an email from a unnamed state employee. It says, is there any update available regarding the potential KSLM party? The get-together at the Ames Ranch. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I had a conversation with the owners and management yesterday, and we are going to move forward with that. Now, it's probably going to be about mid-January. And there's a number of reasons why. But it's going to be centered on the idea of celebrating freedom. By then, I think we'll have a pretty good idea about how the presidential election is going to turn out. And that's going to determine a lot of the tone of the event. But I think it's also going to be focused on us celebrating freedom and what it takes to maintain it, including celebrating and acknowledging law enforcement, fire, and military, their families and their people, their personnel. I think we're going to invite them to be a part of this, along with all of you. We'll have to raise some money for it because we're going to feed people and have a good time. But we want you to come and participate. Would love to meet many of you. And those of you who listen to all of our programming, you're all welcome to come to this thing. Don't have a name for it yet, but looking at the middle of January. So stay tuned. Thanks for the great ask on that. Okay. The ballot counting was extended by some places by 2 months. Throughout the 1917 campaign, Lenin argued that the citizens deserved a government that represented the proletariat's interests, because in his estimation, all other governments represented the dictatorship of the bourgeoisie. Lenin argued that the rich would never give up their privileges, and so the Soviets would need to seize power by violence. Lenin's propaganda fueled a division that would destroy the Russian nation. He urged violence nurtured by envy and jealousy, arguing that some had privileged status that others did not, and this great inequity could only be removed with a violent overthrow. Even though the first free election included a number of different political parties, Lenin was confident that his Bolsheviks would win. They didn't. The final tabulation exposed Lenin's suffering defeat. His Bolsheviks only gathered 23% of the vote. The Socialist Revolutionaries emerged with 37% of the vote. Lenin was unhappy and contested the results. Lenin refused to concede, protesting the legitimacy of the election. The objective of the resistance was a one-party government and an absolute silencing of opposition. It is the duty of the revolution, he wrote, Lenin did, to put an end to compromise. And to put an end to compromise means taking the path of socialist revolution. It was a speech he made on the agrarian question, November 14th, 1917. Consider, the author of this article writes, consider carefully how Lenin embraced the freedom of voting while masterfully disguising his evil objective of silencing the opposition and developing a one-party ruling government. As the election results were announced, Lenin stood and revealed the coup. The results were called flawed. Those in opposition were eventually murdered. Lenin instituted his famous dictatorship of the proletariat. Lenin said this was the best course for the average citizen, and that this dictatorship would dissolve when all privilege distinctions were erased, all wealth inequities removed, and all land ownership seized. And the Russian population bought it. Sounds a lot like 2020, doesn't it? The very concepts that Lenin used to nullify the free election of Russia in 1917 are being used in today's election. In fact, some of the very words and phrases that were used by Lenin are parroted by the Democratic progressives today and characterize the membership of the Democratic Party in America today. Now, let me skip to the end, because this is important. Discord and division prevail in our country, maybe like never before. The violence that the progressives, Democrat Party, BLM, Antifa, has stoked a lot of bitterness. They assure us that regardless of the election, there will be violence. Now remember, this article was written in October before the election. The vitriol marking the battleground is undeniable. Following Lenin's example of 1917, the Democrats have been told never to concede. The results are already announced. Furious Democrats are considering total war, profound changes to the two branches of government, and even adding stars to the flag. District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, packing the court, more senators. After Lenin's Bolsheviks permitted the free election, they moved quickly to strangle freedoms. Lenin's opinion of the poor proletariat having the right to vote for individual choices morphed into a ruling class identified as the Politburo. The first Politburo consisted of Lenin, Trotsky, Krasinski, Kamenev, and Stalin. Lenin died. Trotsky was exiled to Mexico and murdered. Krasinski and Kamenev were assassinated. That left Stalin. Stalin manipulated the bureaucratic apparatus and seized power. By the 30s, Stalin had transformed the Politburo into the supreme executive and legislative body of the Communist Party and the Soviet government. Stalin was in command of its membership, decisions, and debates. Lenin's vision had been achieved. The perfect storm in Russia's history resulted in the totalitarian reign of Stalin's terror. Such was the conclusion of Russia's first free election. A lot of parallels to us today. One thing that is different is that the party that is now alleging voter fraud and manipulation of the election is us, is Trump. But the significant difference is this, and I'll leave you with this for today. When Trump talks about it, and when we talk about it, we know there is proof of voter fraud and manipulation. Just as there was in the first election, free and fair election in 1917, with all the excuses. The difference is this. Our goal is not a one-party government. Our goal is the preservation of our republic with its checks and balances. So when we say the election was rigged and that it was stolen and there's evidence of it, our goal is not what Lenin's goal was or what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's goals are today or the Democratic Party today. They're different. Ours is simple. It's the preservation of good versus evil, liberty versus tyranny. And 1917 is perfectly presents itself as to what's happening today and why you must pray and you must fight. Thank you, friends. Appreciate each and every one of you being with us today. I'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. Make it.